Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 4. Try to get through this without coughing. Kind of been coughing on and off. It's just lingering cough. It's very annoying. It's just when you're trying to sing and you're trying to hold it in. But Hebrews chapter 4, and just verse 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for this good day that you blessed us with, Lord. It really doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter what maybe happened today, good or bad. But Lord, the fact is every day is a good day because you have blessed us with a day. Another day to walk with you, another day to hear your voice as you speak to us and guide us, another day, Lord, just to be active in our life, and we thank you for it. And obviously, another Wednesday to be able to go to church, and we thank you for it. Father, we ask that you would please speak to our hearts tonight. We need to hear from heaven. Father, give us ears to hear, give us a heart to receive. I know, Father, this room is full of people that love the Lord and love your word. But Father, we still want to be encouraged. We still want to be challenged. Father, I want to be guided by you and reminded of the truths and promises of your word. And Lord, just challenged to keep moving forward, to keep pressing on in our walk, of faith. And as we travel through this world, just as we sang the one song that said, you know, eventually the path that we're walking will turn to streets of gold. And we're looking forward to that. Father, it gives us something to encourage us along life's journey that this side of heaven is not forever, but the other side is when we get to eternity, and it gives us things to look forward to. And Father, we're looking forward to our blessed hope, Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, we don't have to wait for him. He's already with us. But Lord, we are looking forward to the day when the clouds are rolled back, and he descends down to receive us up to himself, and we thank you for it. Father, I just ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray, amen. As we get back into our church services and back on Wednesday nights and stuff, I was thinking today of just this passage and thinking, you know, it's a wonderful thing that though we were out of church for several weeks due to my sickness and not having somebody to fill in, yet you didn't have to wait until this past Sunday or tonight to be able to hear from God or to open up God's Word, because you have God's Word with you. You have a Bible with you. But I just wanted to encourage us tonight with the Word of God, because it is the Word of God that works in us, the Word of God that changes us, it's the Word of God that encourages us, it's the Word of God that gives us direction in life and gives us the wisdom that we need. So our first Wednesday back, I just wanted to encourage us through the Word of God, about the Word of God, to keep pressing on with the Word of God. Never get to a point where you think you've read enough. I've met people, I've heard people say with their own lips, "Oh, I've read the Bible through, I don't need to read it anymore." But how many of you read your Bible, and even though you've read the same passage or the same verse multiple times, God still speaks to you? It never gets old. God still speaks to you. Because God knows exactly what we need at any given moment in our life. He knows what we need for the day. So, you know, you do your morning devotions before work or before you start your day, and you might read some verses and you know, take encouragement. That's great. That's wonderful. I love the Word of God. And you find out later in the day, Something's going on in your day, and the Holy Spirit brings that verse to your mind that you just read earlier in the day, and you're like, that's exactly what I needed. That helps me to understand what's going on right in the moment of my life at this exact moment. So never get tired of reading the Word of God, but always remember The Word of God is quick and powerful. And there are six things I want to remind us about tonight in regards to the Word of God. And number one, we are born again by the Word. There's no other way to be born again but by the Word of God. That's where your faith started. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, you put your faith and trust in Him, was the beginning of a faith-filled life. Being born again by the Word of God. James chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Speaking about the born again believer. And I was even reading again in the book of John, and reading through John, and come to John chapter 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and says, "Rabbi, we know that you are from God, because no man can do these miracles except he be sent from God." In fact, I want you to go to John chapter 3, because as soon as Nicodemus says what he says, Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. You look at John chapter 3, look at verse 1 again. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.'" Now Nicodemus is recognizing Jesus, that he's from God because he's doing these great miracles that obviously no mortal man can do. And as soon as he just makes this statement, he testifies of Jesus having the power to change lives, these miracles that he's doing. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I mean, Jesus does, he just cuts right to the heart. I mean, he doesn't beat around the bush with Nicodemus. He knows why he's there. And he tells them, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And they go on to have a conversation, Nicodemus not understanding what Jesus is saying, and says, how can a man when he's old enter back into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus explains all that to him. It's a spiritual birth. It's not a physical birth. Everyone is physically born once, but everyone needs to be born again through the Spirit of God. But again, the Word of God working in the lives of people starts with salvation. We're born again by the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." No one gets saved without the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that teaches us that we need a Savior, that shows us that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. And no doubt our faith grows, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And no one will be sitting on their deck, as I had a woman say one time. She was just sitting on her deck, and a gush of wind came through, and she just felt it was the Holy Spirit and felt she got saved by a gush of wind. I thought, that's kind of silly. That's ridiculous, because you're born again by the Word of God. Faith. You need faith, right? And the Word of God gives us that faith. So again, just thinking about the fact that we're born again by the Word of God, never get tired, never get old of telling people your salvation testimony. Never let it become something that you're not excited about. Because it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, you should still be excited that you're saved and you haven't lost your salvation, because you're kept by the power of God. Not by our works, not by our own doing, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that has sealed us, and we can never lose our salvation. The second thing I want us to be reminded of tonight about the work of the Word of God in our life is the fact that we're cleansed by the Word. We are cleansed by the Word. Take your Bibles, go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. How many of you believe that your sins have been covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, right? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. And when he died on Calvary, when Jesus shed his blood was shed for all sin, past, present, future. They're all covered under the blood. All right? But unfortunately, we're still sinful humans. We're saved by grace, but we still sin at times. We still do things that are against God and against His Word. But aren't you glad that God tells us that if we ask for forgiveness, He cleanses us from all sin? That's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I've met people that said, I don't have to confess any more sin. It's all under the blood. Again, when you study the Word of God, yes, your sins are covered, but that doesn't mean we willfully sin, because then we start quenching the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't work in our life. The Holy Spirit becomes silent, becomes, you know, kind of in the back seat, because we're doing our own thing, living our own life. But when we sin and the Holy Spirit convicts our heart, we are to confess that to the Lord, because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I want God to hear my prayers. I want to hear His voice clearly. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So we don't willfully go out there and choose to sin, but, you know, we do sin. We still sin, getting angry, having a bad thought, all kinds of things, all right? Choosing to go against God's will. Again, when we ask the Lord to forgive us, we do it with confidence and boldness, coming before the throne of grace with boldness, because we know that our Heavenly Father will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There in Psalm 119, verse 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Not by turning over a new leaf, not by a New Year's resolution, not by being determined to do it more in his strength and in his power, but because, you know what? Our way always fails. How many of you have tried New Year's resolutions that didn't last? Some people do the New Year's resolution, you know, I'm a go on a diet. New Year's resolution. A week later, they're off the diet. I mean, it's just, our New Year's resolutions sometimes just don't last because it's us doing it in our effort. But God says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Cleansing our way, helping us to walk on the narrow path, to walk on the path that God has for us. And it's the word of God. The word of God guides us and directs us. The word of God is what helps a person to become born again, because they hear what we call the Romans road. You're a sinner. There's none good. There's none righteous. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Wages of sin is death. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're cleansed by the word. You know what? You think about it. The workplaces that some of us work at, not everybody there has clean speech. If you work in any workplace, there's going to be people, probably more than one, that when they speak, just about every other word's a curse word. And guess what? That goes into your ear. And that can affect you because it's negativity, it's wickedness, and it affects. Because the Bible talks about Lot. His righteous soul was vexed. Seeing and hearing, his righteous soul was vexed. And our souls can be vexed by things we hear, things we see. And we need the Word of God. That's why it's important every day to open up the Word of God and read it, not just at the beginning of the day, middle of the day if you're able to, but especially at the end of the day to kind of cleanse your mind of all the garbage that you've heard and seen, you know, throughout the day in your workplace, all of that, needing the Word of God to cleanse our mind and even to cleanse our hearts. Reading, hearing, and obeying the Word leads to a daily confession of sin. The repeated application of the Word helps us to keep clean from the blemishes of sinful behavior. Again, it's the Word of God. The Word of God is like water. I mean, you take a shower or a bath every day, you know? Or nobody takes a bath every day? Man, I know my kids are like, oh, do we have to? But think about it. I mean, why do you do that? To get cleaned up. Especially if you've been outside working, you've been you know, working in the garden or whatever, you know, sweating, you know, stinky, BO. You take a shower to get cleaned up. Well, obviously, the Word of God is like water. It cleanseth us. It washes us. It helps us to be refreshed and revitalized, and we need that. And listen, I know of people, I know of Christians who neglect the Word of God. Well, I've already read it through. I don't need to read it. I know what it says. And they totally miss what God has for them. God's given us a powerful book that's alive, that, I mean, the Word of God is like fire. It's like a hammer breaking up the fallow ground, because sometimes our hearts can become hardened over time. May not, you know, be wanting to, but just over time of just being, you know, aggravated with life, aggravated with people, and not really, you know, getting that right with God and asking the Lord, help me not to be aggravated, help me to be patient, help me to be like Christ, help me just to be loving and forgiving towards people and patient. And we need the Word of God. We need it to cleanse us. We need it to show us our way that we need to be living for the Lord. So it's reading and hearing, obeying the Word each and every day. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the Word. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So being cleansed by the Word of God is so powerful, it can cleanse us. Help our minds to be cleansed of all the negativity that we hear, and help us to have the right frame of mind. Number three, the Word of God working in our life helps us to be mature. It matures us. You know what? God wants us, you know, as a new believer that becomes born again, puts their faith in Christ, he wants that believer to grow. And there's not a point where we stop growing. You've been saved 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. We are to still continue growing. There's much growth to do because God's working in our life, and there's always, again, we'll never get to a place where we are perfect until we see Christ face to face. And God's always working in our life. He's always showing us things in our life that maybe we don't think is wrong. You know, it's not, you know, sinful, but it may be something that's holding us back from moving forward with the Lord. I want you to look with me at Jeremiah chapter 15. So we're matured by the Word of God. Again, talking about the importance and the power of the Word of God in our daily life, never neglecting it, allowing the Word of God to do what it's intended to do. God has a purpose for His Word in each of our lives. It's not just for us to read and check off the to-do list, but it's to read and to apply the truths of God's Word to our life to help us to become more conformed into the image of Christ, to help us to have a right heart, to have a right mind, a right thinking in this life that we're living. Jeremiah chapter 15 and 16. Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, I did eat them." I mean, he consumed the Word of God. And we, as God's people, should consume the Word of God. Really, it should be, the Word of God should be more important than our daily food. Remember, Jesus said, "Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, we make sure that we eat every day. We make sure that, you know what, if we're hungry, and we feed ourselves. You know what? Our spirit is hungry, and we need to feed it every day, the Word of God. We need to consume the Word of God. And even as Jeremiah uses the word, "Thy words are found, I did eat them." I mean, that is consuming, knowing that, you know what? What I'm consuming, it's nourishment. It's spiritual nourishment for myself. "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." How many of you understand that there are times you open up the Word of God, you start reading, and you just, maybe you're having a bad day, you know, you're just, you're in a bad mood, but you know that you need to read God's Word. You open it up, you start reading it, and you feel yourself becoming lighter. You feel the burden being lifted, and you feel yourself just rejoicing in the truth of God's word, you know, wherever you're reading it, reminds you of the goodness of God in your life. It reminds you that God is on your side, and God wants to carry the load. He wants you to cast that burden upon him. I mean, even if you're not having a bad day, just opening up the wonderful word of God and allowing it to speak to you, it rejoices the heart. What are those two disciples on the road to Emmaus experience? I mean, they're Jesus come alongside them. He kept them from knowing who he was. He asked them why they were sad, why they were talking the way they were talking. And as they walked on, they invited Jesus into the house. And obviously when Jesus, you know, broke the bread, their eyes were open. They knew who he was. He disappears for them. But they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he was speaking? That's the word of God. Again, it's like fire. It should. It's supposed to. You ever find yourself in a place where you don't want to read? You know you should, and it's like, you know what, I just don't want to. I'm in a bad mood. I just want to sulk. I want to have a self-pity party. And the Holy Spirit is going to tap you on the shoulder and tell you you need to get in that word. Because that word, God's word, is like a fire and a hammer. It's going to burn in your heart as a child of God. Now, we can't expect the lost and unbelievers to be excited about the word of God. But as a child of God, we know what's right. And we know the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We know what it can do. And who doesn't want to have joy in their heart so they can rejoice? I mean, how many of us love to just be down in the dumps? No, we want to be joyous. We want to be happy. We want everything to be going great all the time. Everything doesn't go great all the time, but we can rejoice all the time. Rejoice always, the Bible tells us. So the word of God working in us matures us. It helps us to grow. It helps us to, about this, maturing, learning how to really rejoice in all situations. Because you know what? Again, when you read through the Bible and you read where God's people went, they had some hard times. From the 400 plus years in slavery, coming out of slavery, I mean, they had some hard times. But God was always there. God was always providing for them. And you remember what God told Joshua as Joshua took the reins of being the next leader after Moses. He told Joshua, do not let my word depart out of your mouth. Don't forsake it. Because if you'll follow my word, if you'll allow my word to guide you, you'll find success. You'll find success. And that's what he told Joshua, to be of good courage. Again, it's the word of God that matures us in ways that we don't understand right now. Again, helping us to mature in rejoicing even in bad situations, but helping us to mature in trusting God when we don't understand. Because Proverbs, go to Proverbs chapter 3. If you're like me, you want to know exactly why things happen and why God didn't stop it, why God didn't do what you thought he should do. I mean, it's just things in life that, you know what, may never get the answer on this side of heaven. May never get the answer. But there's one thing that spiritual maturity teaches us, and that is that we can trust the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It says, don't lean unto your own understanding, though we want to understand why something's happening or why something isn't happening. I mean, there's been many times in my life. I mean, in fact, what did I tell the church that I was so excited about this year? Easter Sunday. I was like, man, we get to be in church. We get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, I can't wait. I was here on that Friday getting stuff ready. Saturday, sick. Saturday evening, in the hospital. Out of church for weeks. And I asked the Lord, why, Lord? Why would you allow that? I mean, There's no one to fill the pulpit. I'm out of church. No church services for weeks on end. Oh yeah, how many weeks it was? 3 or 4 weeks? And guess what? The Lord didn't give me an answer. But I trust that He knows. He knew I was going to get sick. He knew there wasn't going to be any church services. But you know what? With no church services, you still can read your Bible. You can still hear from heaven. You can still be changed by the power of God. I love church services. I love us being able to fellowship. But when there can't be a church service for whatever reason, you still have God's Word. You still have something in your life that's very precious, very valuable, more precious than gold, as the Bible talks about, because it's a living book. It changes. It's the words of God. It is God's Word guiding us and directing us. And being matured by the Word, we understand. We come to places where, okay, I don't understand, but I trust the Lord because He has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. He knew what was going to happen. There's a reason for it. And if He wants me to know what the reason is, He'll let me know. Otherwise, I trust that this is His perfect will. Though I don't understand it, I still trust Him. The fourth thing I want you to think about is the fact that God's Word working in us, we're sanctified by His Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says, "For it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer." To remind us, sanctified means set apart for God's use. You are set apart for God's use. The day that you ask Christ into your life, you became born again, sealed by the Holy Spirit. God gave you the power to become the Son of God. God set you apart for a purpose. He didn't set you on a shelf to leave you on a shelf until He decides to take you home, but He set you apart for a purpose. And He set me apart for a purpose. And that sanctification is an ongoing process. It wasn't a one-time process, but it's an ongoing process, and it's the Word of God that sanctifies us. Sanctification expressed in our life is an ongoing process. We are to be perpetually becoming more like Christ, because the sanctification process, it's taking the oldness out of us. It's taking the bad habits and replacing them with good habits. It's helping us to be conformed more into the image of Christ, helping us to have the mind of Christ, again, helping us to have the patience of Christ, the love of Christ towards people. You understand that sanctification helps you and me to be able to love people that hate us? And not just hate us because we're a Christian, just hate us because that's what they want to do. They want to hate you. They want to talk bad about you. But because God's working in you and sanctifying you and changing your heart, changing you from the inside out, helping us to be like Christ, where we can look upon that person, look upon our enemy, and have compassion for them, knowing that, you know what? I know that they have bad feelings towards me, but unless they get saved, I know where they're headed. I know where their end is, and you have compassion, not wanting them to go that way. And that's why Jesus says, feed your enemy. If he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Because you know what? In doing that, in being kind and being loving and being forgiving towards that person that's against you, the Bible says your kindness, your love towards them is like heaping coals of fire. They become ashamed because no matter what they do, they cannot get a negative effect out of you. And guess what? For many, that causes that person to ask of the reason of the hope that lies within you. So the Word of God is very important because, again, the Word of God is just not a book to read. Well, you know, I better read it because my pastor or somebody else is going to ask me, you know, what'd you read in your Bible this week? And I don't want to lie, so I got to have something. No, the Word of God should be more precious to us than that. Because you know what? It is a powerful book that changes us. It's a book that we get to hear from God. Prayer is us talking to God, reading His Word. He's talking to us. He's guiding us. He's showing us things in life to help us. The fifth thing I want us to think about tonight is the fact that we're enlightened by the Word. We're enlightened by the Word. Look at Psalm 19, if you would. Psalm 19 and verse 8. Psalm 19 and verse number 8. Back up to verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Word of God, enlightening our eyes. Think about it. We are living in dark days. All throughout history, they were living in dark days. But you think about the days that we're living in. Excuse me, Jesus said that in the last days, it'll be like the days of Noah. People just going about business, doing, getting married, giving in marriage. But the wickedness of the world gets worse and worse and worse as we get closer to the return of Christ. So, I mean, we're living in dark days. You can't deny that, just the wickedness, people's wicked lifestyles, all the things going on in this world, in our culture, our society promotes the wickedness. The Bible even talks about where they would call good evil and evil good, totally switching it around. You think about just the fact that the Word of God enlightens us. God's Word provides the spiritual light and clarity of understanding. It's the holy beacon of absolute truth. I mean, God's Word enlightens. It helps us to see truth. It helps us to see what's going on. Probably talks about the fact that the more you have the Word of God dwelling in you, you become wise. Wiser than other people. Not to be prideful, but the fact that, you know what? God's Word teaches you things in this life. I mean, it helps you to understand. Because how many of you love walking in the darkness? Right? Because what usually happens in the darkness? You're going to stub a toe. You're going to run into something. Right? And, you know, you flip on the light, or if you're out in the woods camping, you turn on your flashlight, you know, because you want to see where you're going. It's the same in our life. We don't want to be walking through life not knowing what's going on, not being able to discern things in life. We want to be able to discern the times that we're in. And the time that we're in shows us that we are closer to the return of Christ than ever before. And you know what? Honestly, that should encourage us and that should cause us to read more of God's Word so we are prepared. We're prepared for the return of Christ, but we are continuing to be prepared and walking through this life, helping others to come to know Christ, being that example, being that light. Remember, because Jesus called us in Matthew chapter 5 to be a light in this world. And you know what? The darker it gets, the brighter the light should shine. I love bright lights. All right? I don't love the bright lights that are on vehicles coming at me, those bright LED lights that you think they're on high beam and they're not because you flash them and they put theirs on bright and it's like, well, that's even brighter. But you know what? But we are to be that light. We are to be the ones that are shining brighter. You know, you can't do it without the Word of God dwelling richly in you. So you think about just the fact that the Word of God enlightens us. Thy Word, in Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy Word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I mean, God's Word shows us where we're at in life, if we're in a good spot or a bad spot, and that it helps us to move forward. Think about the prodigal son. He didn't have the written word of God. But when you think about the account of the prodigal son that Jesus gives, he's in the pig pen. He's thinking about eating the husks. that the pigs have been eating. He's so hungry, no man will give to him. He's thinking about eating the husks to fill his belly to satisfy his hunger. But then the Bible says he remembered how good the servants of his father were treated. That's God speaking to that young man's heart. That's God bringing to his mind how good God is. Because obviously it's a picture of God the Father, and God the Father is waiting for him, but he remembered. You know what? At times we need to remember the goodness of God. And again, God's given us his word to open up and to read, and as we read, we're reminded how good God is. Even in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I mean, have you ever went out at night and looked up at the bright sky and see the stars and just wonder, man, God is so good. And being reminded what the Bible says back in Genesis, where speaking God created this on day one, day two, get to the end, oh, and he created the stars also. Just kind of threw them out there. Just kind of, last minute thing, yeah, I'll throw these out there. I mean, just the power of God, but the fact is, everything consists. I mean, you look at nature, you can't help as a child of God but to think about the power of God, his word spoken, all of this just continues. All the seasons continue. And I'm glad that we're heading into summer. I'm glad the weather's getting a little warmer, you know, because I enjoy all four seasons. All four seasons have a blessing in it. And again, we're reminded. I mean, you being enlightened by God's word helps you to, when you think about where you're at in life, is this where God wants him to be? And as you allow the word of God to guide you and direct you, God's going to show you if you're in the right place or the wrong place. And he'll guide your steps to help you to move on to get where he wants you to go, because he wants us spiritually in our life to keep moving forward. Will you have failures? Will there be times where, you know, as a child learning how to walk, you know, trip and fall and you get up? Yeah. There'll be times where we have failures and setbacks. But like we talked about on Sunday, you can't allow the failures and setbacks to keep you from moving forward in the direction that God wants us to go. We're to keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, looking at Jesus, and as he encourages us to keep moving, we keep moving. Because he doesn't want us to become stagnant in our faith. He doesn't want us to remain in one spiritual spot. He wants us to keep moving forward, to keep experiencing the grace of God, the goodness of God, the blessings of God, and to go through trials. He actually wants us to go through trials so our faith is tested, our faith is strengthened, and we get to the other side of the storm and realize how good God is to bring us through that storm and to strengthen us, to use that storm in our life. The last thing I want us to think about is the fact that you're kept by the word of God. The word of God working in you. You're kept by the word of God. If you're still in the book of Psalms, turn back to Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and verse 4. Psalm 17 and verse 4, the Bible says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. By the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. God's word warns us about sin. It warns us about the path of sin. The devil's very good in covering up sin and dressing it up and making it not look as bad, making it look like something that's desirable, right? But God's word helps to keep us from that. Again, that's why it's important to allow the word of God to dwell richly in your heart, because again, if God's word was not important, he would not have given it to us. He would allow us just to wander through life, choosing what we think is right and hoping for the best. But he's given us his word, obviously, to bring salvation, to teach people salvation, to help us to be enlightened, to know that, you know what, my life is not my own. Because you know what, as you read the word of God, you come to the realization through God's word that, you know what, I've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. He owns me. My life belongs to him. And I'm indebted to him because of what he did for me. And God's word teaches us that we are kept by his word. I mean, again, I know there are some people that, oh, you know, you can't tell them what's right and wrong. Everybody's right, nobody's wrong. But you know what? I'd rather be told when I'm wrong. Because you know what? I want God's power to continue resting upon my life. I want to continue hearing God's voice as he speaks to me. When I was in the hospital for those days, I went in. I didn't take my Bible. I went straight to the hospital. I didn't pack a bag. I didn't know how long I'd be there. But you know what I had? I had my phone. And I've got the Bible on my phone. So even though I may not have, and listen, don't ever let the phone and your Bible take precedence over this book. There's just something about holding the Bible, turning the pages. There's just something about it that you don't get from your phone. But it's a blessing, though, that when you don't have your Bible, you have a copy of it on your phone that you can read. And I was able to do that, and it was a blessing to be in the hospital and to find comfort in God's word and encouragement, because I wanted to be home. I thought I'd only be in there, okay, a couple of days. I was in there for 6 days. I was getting tired of it. I wanted to be home, but what I'm saying is I found comfort, encouragement in God's word. Again, even asking him, why did this have to happen now? And yet him speaking to my heart and letting me know that everything's fine. I mean, just like kind of, almost like Paul, not, you know, you're going to be sick for a little bit. It's okay. I'm still on the throne. I'm still in charge of your life. I'm still directing your life. I'm still here. And you know what? I was fine. I had perfect peace in the hospital. Other people there didn't have peace. Other people were going out of their mind, screaming throughout the night. Yet I had perfect peace. That's what the Word of God does. That's why I start off by saying, you know, don't get tired of reading your Bible. Don't neglect it. Never lose the truth that it's quick and powerful. It's alive. Quick means to be alive. The Word of God is alive. God's given it to us, not only for it to be a lamp and light into our path, but to guide us, to change us more into the image of Christ, helping us to be conformed into the image of Christ, helping us to have, to develop. Think about the fruits of the Spirit. You know, in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You get all that as you allow the Word of God to cultivate your heart. You allow the seeds of God's Word to dwell richly in your heart to bring forth much fruit. In Proverbs 6:23, the Bible says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." God's word is nourishment for us. God's word's nourishment for us. It equips us and it guides us through every aspect of our life. So never get tired of it. Everybody has their opinion of the Bible. And some people's opinions are not going to match with your opinion. Let it be water off a duck's back. It's okay. I fully believe that this is the Word of God, and God's given this to me so that I can have a fruitful life, and that it will and has changed me, and it will continue to change me. It will continue to guide, direct me, and it will help me to get closer to him as I read his word, as I apply it to my life, as I allow God to speak to my heart. He's going to draw me closer to him. But this is the most valuable thing we have, the Word of God.